Wednesday edition, Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski producing as always.
Hello.
It's time for a little segment we like to call Diamonds in the Rough.
It is brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds. We take a look at, you know, somebody who was a diamond in the rough for the Kansas City Chiefs the last couple of days. And, you know, it's a position area. Maybe we didn't get enough love on Monday or whatnot. So that's what we do today. Ryan, why don't you start us off today?
So I know last week there was some conversation about the short yarded situations for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I just got to give a real quick tip of the cap to, I guess it's Bob's guy, because he was on this train last year.
Yeah.
He was riding the D train. That came out wrong. But he was all on Darwin Thompson last year. You saw a
How was
short,
that any better?
I don't think I was trying, actually, to make it better. But you were all over him last year. I think that in the short yarded situation, granted, who else were you going to turn to other than Clyde Edwards-Helaire? But for the fact that the young guy was able to come in, get the job done in short yardage situation in a time that you didn't have, Williams to come in and kind of spell that and be the veteran guy to get and pick up that yardage. Good to see him pick up that fourth and one. So I'm not saying the Chiefs' short yardage problems are solved, but it certainly is nice to have another guy to turn to.
A lot of stones to go to him in that situation. Granted,
no question, Josh.
You were down a running back, but I don't know how much Darwin Thompson was factoring into the game plan the other night. I'm guessing not a lot. It was kind of next man up. Darrell Williams considered maybe more of a downhill short yardage guys, got a little more size. Mm-hmm. He would be the guy that would take, I think, that spot. Well, he's out. Darwin Thompson comes in and runs your fourth down, but the confidence to be able to go to him in that situation, I thought was pretty big.
I thought so too, but again, it's a testament to, you know, Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the coaching staff, and everybody involved in that organization, where, you know, you're confident in going to the next man up because you believe those guys are ready to go. I mean, they've done a lot of already through, you know, 8 days, 9 days of an NFL season here. We have seen a lot of next man up for the Chiefs already, and for the most part, you don't miss a beat. Now, obviously, having Frank Clark out of the lineup is different than having Mike Dana in the lineup, a rookie out of Michigan or whatever. So that's clearly different. But even he got a sack. I mean, this organization does such an amazing job of identifying players, but then also coaching them up and getting them ready for if they have to play, they're ready to go.
And then, yeah, Darwin Thompson staying ready too. I mean,
yeah,
he probably was realizing he was like, I'm the third guy and there's not a lot of third guy opportunities right now. Well, now you're the second guy.
I mean, what was the last time you saw a player that wasn't ready for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, they're kind of pinning me down.
I know. Sure I know. I'm asking because sure I don't know. I mean,
first year guy that wasn't ready or something like that.
Breland Speaks.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's fine, but he's no longer on the team.
I was trying to think of somebody like in the secondary that Orlando Scandrick.
Yeah, Scandrick. Yeah.
He wasn't ready.
He was not ready.
Something like that was the direction I was going. But
yeah.
Speaking of the secondary, I feel like he might be Woody too.
Who?
From our earlier discussion.
What?
Tyrann Mathieu, maybe Woody. Old reliable.
Yeah.
That I feel like we sometimes do, in fact, forget about.
Absolutely.
Like, there's a lot of stuff going on defense. There's a lot of stuff going on in the secondary, and there's just Tyrann Mathieu to help clean everything up. Had five tackles and a quarterback hurry again the other day.
And a pass batted down.
He's been flying all over the place. Brian Baldinger of NFL Network.
Just completely in control. No matter what the situation is. Mike Williams trying to block him. He gets off the block. Gets off the block and disengages like he's a defensive lineman. Gets a ball player down. Now, wherever he's at on the field, you can find him. I mean, he's got the gloves, the shoes, but it's how he plays. With instincts and aggressiveness, but under control. Austin Ekeler breaks a tackle. There he is, just climbing him and just gonna wrestle him to the ground. 2-point takedown in the WWF, whatever that wrestling federation is. I mean, just look for him. He'll be there.
Yeah, he's just around the ball. He'll be there. He's around each and every play. I look back at week one as well. He like came rushing in and like blew up a tight end. Like, all that tight end's supposed to be there to take care of a defensive back at the very minimum, right?
Right.
And he comes in and just blasts the tight end
for
Houston. And then, you know, he's giving the back end, the defense, confidence as well. I think if he's doing his job, he's going around, gives you the confidence to play in that secondary as well. And just an absolute ball hawk.
This play right here might have been the difference in the game. Here he is in the deep half, all right? Chargers up 7-0, all right? Still the first quarter. And here comes Mike Williams, and he hunts him up, all right? This is his area, all right? Half-field safety. Watch how he never panics with the ball in the air. Totally under control. Saves a touchdown right there.
The pass defended to save the touchdown in the end zone.
Yeah, that was great.
Hell of a play.
I mean, that's in the first quarter, that's a game-saving play.
I hesitate to call him a diamond in the rough, but don't ever sleep on what Tyrann Mathieu brings to this defense.
Right.
We can't take it for granted.
No, you absolutely can't. He's the Patrick Mahomes on the defensive side of things. For me...
Or Woody.
Yeah, or Woody. For me, the diamond in the rough this week are the cornerbacks. Here's Andy Reid.
You know what? They were respectable, I thought. Obviously, Snead had the... at the interception, but Felton, I thought he did a good job too. So I thought the guys worked well. There's some things that they can take out of it and learn from. So, but I thought they did a good job.
You know, I thought they did a good job too for who's out there right now as your starting cornerbacks, a rookie and Rashad Fenton. Neither guy expected to be a starter this year at that position for the Kansas City Chiefs, and both of those guys factored in huge to the game on Sunday. You saw obviously the interception by Legarius Sneed, and then in overtime you saw on that 3rd and 7 Mike Williams catching the ball a yard away from the first down marker, and there's Rashad Fenton making a tackle. A nice tackle, a tackle you saw back in the 1980s by a defensive back, and drove that dude backwards and did not let him get to the first down marker, forcing a bad coaching decision by Anthony Lynn to punt right there, giving the ball back to the Chiefs, in turn giving them the victory. The two cornerbacks in that game had major plays that changed the way that that game was headed, because the Snead interception led to a 95-yard touchdown drive, and then Rashard Fenton's tackle there, short of the sticks, led to a punt, which in turn led to the game-winning 58-yard field goal.
No Breland, no Ward. You lost Antonio Hamilton in the midst of that game.
Yep.
You're kind of down to two corners, although Keys, the other rookie corner, I think saw his first action on special teams, but he's a little further behind. You might have had to do some real shifting. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu would have had to slide back out to a corner.
Maybe,
And what have you, if those two couldn't deliver, but they stuck it out. And I felt like that there was some point that they might have even been told, like, you're our only
you got to play.
There's nobody we're going to here. Play it out. Let's go.
Right.
And maybe that gives them confidence as well moving forward, because they were seemingly very shorthanded at corner the other day, and again, made it work.
Herbert being rushed. Naughty maybe got held. He's going to throw it long across his body. Makes a mistake. It's intercepted. Intercepted by Legarius Sneed. I feel the need. I feel the need for Sneed, who comes up with a gigantic play. As Herbert finally makes a mistake in his debut, throwing across his body, Sneed has two picks in his first two NFL games.
Huge, man.
And then Sneed.
The versatility as well. Sneed has had versatility in his college career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rashad Fenton has played both safety and corner. They like him in a couple of spots. We know you can move Tyrann Mathieu around. Having that flexibility in the secondary as well, to play kind of numerous spots, even in a pinch, can go a long way. And they needed it. They frankly needed it. They didn't have the numbers at the corner spot the other night, and they made it work.
Yeah, kudos to Spags for having the right defensive system call, putting guys in position to make plays, and then really a credit to both of those guys for coming up when they needed to with huge plays to help the Chiefs win that game.
There's your diamonds.
You could get a box of kudos right now. That would be
really good. There's your diamonds in the rough.
Brought to you by Helzberg Diamonds here on 610 Sports Radio.
He really wants to be a coach.
Yes, I do.
I was talking about you, actually.
Oh, you were?
Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Game of the year coming up, Chiefs and Ravens on Monday night.
Monday.
on 106.5 The Wolf.
How can we never do other days of the week other than like Sunday and Monday like that?
I mean, you could do it.
Saturday wouldn't work. Wednesday.
Taco Tuesday.
It's not the same right now.
It's not quite the same.
Wednesday. No.
No. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, Friday's a great day in and of itself. You don't need that. You don't need to hype it.
No, you just go, Friday.
No, you don't.
No, you don't at all.
You don't?
Nope.
Oh, I was told you did.
Do you do that?
Oh, yeah. Friday? Yeah.
You really are the male Dana Wright.
I know you call Thursday Friday Junior, right?
No, I
Free
don't.
Friday?
I don't. I don't call it Friday Junior.
The gateway to Friday?
Friday Junior? You don't walk around on Thursday telling everybody it's Friday Junior?
Do you?
Of course.
What is going on today?
I don't know what's happening. But next Monday night.
I don't do that.
Our Monday night marathon presented by Edward Jones Financial Advisors. It's actually going to begin midnight.
On Monday!
That's right. Just into Monday.
Tuesday Junior.
Coverage begins at midnight. We're going to take you all day long, all the way through it, concluding with post-game coverage right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs. You can take calls during the game as well.
Yeah, that's right.
But Bink's going to get it started at midnight.
Bink will be doing the whole 24 hours of a podcast.
I would think. He's like Drexel and whoever it plays on the.
That's right. Yes. Feast week. Bink is kicking off feast week for us.
Kickoff week or whatever that is.
It's Bink week on 610 Sports
Drexel
Radio.
And Iona at midnight. Yes, that's Bink week.
Yeah, no, we'll just call it Bink week.
That's not a terrible idea. It's like Shark Week.
It's Bink week.
Bink week. It smells like Copenhagen.
I'm going to talk football and eat chewing tobacco.
Oh. Were those live, both of them, or no?
No, mine was.
One was it. But he is going to get choked up this weekend. I assure you about
it's
that.
It's big week for him. Big week.
So Bob's always thought he could be an NFL coach.
Hey, there's no thinking. I know I can. Dana Hughes confirmed that a couple years ago.
He takes his very select people that think he could be a coach and runs with it.
Have you heard anybody say I couldn't?
But one besides Ryan and I.
No, I mean people that matter.
Wow. What the hell?
It's gotten personal again. ESPN, a former coach.
You wonder why he's a former
Rex
coach.
Rex Ryan. And never was a coach. Dan Orlovsky.
I like Dan Orlovsky so much now on television. Like, have you guys actually, like, as a player, he ran out of the back of the end zone and you mocked him?
Yeah, not a good player.
But on television, man, this guy's really good.
He's pretty good.
He's really good.
They were discussing.
Great hair.
Should the Chargers have gone for it on fourth down?
I talked to Anthony Lynn last night, and obviously it was a tough, tough decision because he knows what's on the other side, but he has more faith in that defense. He thinks he's got one of the best defenses in the league. And quite honestly, that defense had given Pat Mahomes more than he wanted up until that point. He also has three offensive linemen out. So, yes, I'm going to stand by Anthony Lynn and say he absolutely made the right call.
Dan, I know he's your friend, but your friend's got to tell friends the truth. That is the wrong call. First of all, you're giving the ball to Patrick Mahomes. You're not putting the game in the hands of your defense. You're going to give Patrick Mahomes the ball back. Second of all, you were 3 for 3 yesterday on 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1 conversions. All of them were runs. You have this rookie quarterback that is hot. He's 6'6". He's 250 pounds. Go run zone read with your quarterback and say, let's go win the football game because all you did was hand Thanos the Infinity Stone. And you lose the game because the unwillingness to go win it. And did you not watch last year? Did you not watch what Patrick Mahomes was doing to teams last season? You do not give the best player in football the football back.
Rex, looks
Coach
aggravated.
Hindsight right here. First off, he complained about Cam Newton running the ball, who's 6'5", 260 pounds on a 4th-and-1. Dan, you're not as smart as Bill Belichick. You're not as smart as Anthony Lynn. You know the game, but those two guys know their team better than anybody. So to me, I get it. I believe that both these calls were right. And obviously, I'm going to stick by Anthony Lynn.
And that's why Rex Ryan is at ESPN and no longer on a sideline.
Or he's got a chance to be a coach again because that's a coach.
Yeah.
I think most coaches would have done what Anthony Lynn did.
You really think
so? I do.
Wow.
They're so kind of setting it. Oh, I'm going to justify this is why. the three offensive linemen out is such bunk. They were dominating.
They were
the Chiefs
dominating.
Defensive line all day.
Yeah.
With three essentially new defensive linemen or offensive linemen. They had a revamped offensive line and were taking care of business all game long. And then I just don't think at times they take their shot when it's there. And also I don't think coaches are often, and they can't be, I get it. They're in that room every day. They're not as realistic about what they truly are when they're in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see what the Chargers are. They're a team that's going to be scuffling for 500 this year. That may, if all things break right, have a shot at a playoff spot, but they don't see that. They're like, we can go win this game.
But you went and lost the game.
You didn't take your swing to win the game.
Right.
Now, there are other instances, say Ravens in previous incarnations against the Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
where like you can play toe-to-toe with them. Why are
right.
you,
you're good enough to play toe-to-toe.
Why are you taking right. these kind of reckless swings?
When you're the Chargers with a rookie quarterback, Chargers, you have to.
You were supposed to win that game, or you're supposed to lose that game if you were that's the right. Chargers here. Just go for it.
Go for it.
There's no harm in going
and
for it.
And if you lose, you met expectations for the day. And if you win, it's a different ball
but
game.
But I do think most coaches would end up in Rex's camp because they would go for that portion of it. People like us that aren't coaching and Dan Orlovsky be like, why don't you go for it?
Well, no, I think the situation dictated it. I mean, Orlovsky was right. You were 3-for-3 on 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. You were running the football well. You had an opportunity.
You had nothing to lose.
You had absolutely nothing to lose. I think
Big
Anthony
picture,
Lynn.
You had nothing to lose. You had a lot to gain.
A lot to gain. Anthony Lynn played scared and was afraid to win a football game.
You know how much confidence he'd have given his team if they'd have knocked off the Chiefs?
And you know what the narrative would have been this week right now, too? And maybe because he's, you know, in love with Tyrod Taylor so much, he didn't want to give his team an opportunity to win that game because then it would have caused more controversy. Over, you know, who should be the starting quarterback out there. If Justin Herbert goes out in his first game ever and finds out he's starting at the coin toss and beats the Kansas City Chiefs, now all of a sudden you can't go out there and have Tyrod Taylor as your starting quarterback anymore. Now Anthony Lynn can take the route of, well, you know, there's things that we didn't do well in this game, and so Tyrod's still the starter in this game because you lost that football game. Gives you a little more justification to keep Tyrod Taylor as your starting quarterback. But at the end of the day, I think Anthony Lynn was afraid to win that football game. He coached scared in that overtime period, and it turned around and bit him, and the Chiefs got the victory.
This in from Adam Schefter, former Jags and Rams quarterback Blake Bortles scheduled a visit today with the Broncos.
Oh boy, it's that bad in Denver, huh?
Eesh. Nearly signed with the Broncos last year, he says.
Mm-hmm.
That's so gross. That's so gross. I don't even know if it constitutes breaking news on 610 Sports Radio, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oils made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil.
I mean, you did the read anyway.
I know. Figured I owed it to them, but
pay the bills. I guess
it was more Broncos. Maybe didn't deserve that. So Drew Lock out for what 3 to 5 weeks of the shoulder injury.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Driscoll's your starter, and they're bringing in Blake Bortles. Yikes! The big story coming up, and the floor is always open to Doat. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Snap Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got a pretty cool event going on today with the Tyron Matthew Foundation at Union Station. Today is the National Register to Vote Day, so we have opportunities for folks between, I guess, now and 2 o'clock to head down to Union Station to register to vote. If you're in the Kansas City, Missouri voting district, you can do that. And also, we're doing something pretty cool with Harvesters as well, in conjunction with the good folks over at Harvesters from 9 to 11, they have meals available for 320 families. It is first come, first serve. Go down and get in line from 9 to 11 at Union Station. They're going to be distributing food to 320 cool. families at Union Station today. So if you need some assistance, you need some help, Tyron's got you covered, guys. So just get on down to Union Station between 9 and 11. Pick up the food from Harvesters, and while you're there, register to vote as well, as today is National Register to Vote Day in the United States.
You mean Tyron Matthews covering a bunch of things?
got a lot covered in one day, in one fell swoop,
yeah.
Like normal. He's got it all covered.
He's got it all covered, Josh. That's just him. Like he did on Sunday. And just like he does in this community, he does amazing things for this town. And so, if you're in need, get on down to Union Station between 9 and 11. And if you live in Kansas City, Missouri, and you want to register to vote, you can do that at Union Station as well. And you can even fill out an absentee ballot there today too.
Wow, it's sharing it with a lot of other national days today. National Elephant Appreciation Day.
Oh, really?
Also, National Hobbit Day. National Ice Cream Cone Day. I mean, National Legwear Day is today.
Is that today, too?
It is also National White Chocolate Day.
You know what else today is, right? The first day of fall. It is the fall equinox today as well. So maybe National Legwear Day because it's supposed to be a little bit cooler. Mm. You know, get
it's
your...
also National Girls Night In Day. So
oh,
it's gonna be...
okay. Saturday is National Key Lime Pie Day, Ryan.
Gotta go get my Miss Edwards out of the grocery.
But where
freezers.
Are we? Where do we get a key lime pie in Kansas City?
From your grocer's freezer.
But is there a place like?
I just told you this.
I understand.
Miss Edwards has you covered. I think that's what her name was.
Our friend from finance brought me a coconut cream pie the other day from the Corner Cafe.
I know how much you like a good cream pie.
Oh, it's so good, right? But they don't have key lime pie at the Corner Cafe. So who has the best key lime pie?
I told you, your grocer's freezer.
In Kansas City. Because I'm not going to that place we went to in Miami that you led me astray to.
I didn't lead you astray. Everyone in Miami told
piece of pie, and it was terrible.
Was good.
It wasn't.
If you want to take a trip to Blue Springs, there's a place called Sinclair's. They have the best key lime pie I've had in this city.
I've heard about that place. I think you've probably said that.
Dana Wright told me about that, so I know you would love it.
Really? Okay. So why don't you do yourself a favor, since you're out there, grab a key lime pie for Friday. We'll eat it together on the air.
I will holler at my guy Shane, see if I can get us a key lime pie.
All right, we need a key lime pie for Friday to celebrate National Key Lime Pie Day, which is Saturday.
And check out Sinclair's in Blue Springs while you get a chance. Hopefully, I'll get a free pie.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Big story brought to you by Novel Place Senior Living in Overland Park in Blue Springs, a novel choice in senior living. You can have one night, Raiders, and that's it.
That's all you get is one night, right? They look good last night, though, Josh.
They got their stadium bump. They got their
Big Al
Eternal Flame bump.
Mm-hmm.
They got their Vegas bump.
Yeah.
So their current home, they picked
Vegas
up their,
bump, a different thing, actually.
Totally different thing.
Their first. Trying to make the. They got their first.
Your sound effects have gone down in the second half of the show.
I was trying to get the snapping cards, but the paper didn't sound quite the same. Their first win in their current home that may or may not be their
for now home. This is their for now home,
I guess.
Yeah.
However that is.
We're going forever home.
No, for now.
Not forever home.
It's their for now home.
Their for now home.
Where do you think they'll go next?
Just a bunch
LA?
Of stray dogs.
Do you think in 20 years the Raiders will be back in LA and the Chargers will be back in San Diego?
No.
I do not.
You don't think that could happen?
They've been wanting to get a team to Vegas for way too long for it to leave that quick.
No, I think they're staying in Vegas.
Okay. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
No, I don't think the Chargers are staying in LA, but I think the
where do you think they're gonna end up?
Maybe we finally get that third. Or that extra Texas team. Maybe San Antonio does get one. I don't know.
So you think the Chargers are going to move out of L.A.?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're always going to be the little brother. They don't have a fan base. They don't have a stadium. They got
a stadium.
They're just borrowing, they're borrowing portion of a stadium.
Yeah.
I think they'll go and get their own.
I can see San Diego coming to their
or
senses.
Maybe San Diego.
Maybe, you know what? We should build one.
But I think that owner, they don't want that owner.
No, they don't. No. Maybe.
So anyway, the Raiders did look good for a night. Derek Carr, 3 touchdown passes. They were down 10-0. Held the Saints just 7 points in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they looked pretty good to move to 2-0 and then knock the Saints to 1-1. Of course, Chiefs face both the Raiders and the Saints upcoming. And Saints looked at as one of those toughest games. On the calendar, one of the road games that the Chiefs play this year at the Saints. The Raiders looked good last night. I'll give it to them.
They did look good. The Saints came marching into Vegas and were robbed by the Raiders, man. They were up 10-0 in that one. Could have been 11-0, which I thought was great going for two that early, right? And you're up 11-0 in that game, but obviously that didn't happen because of a penalty, and then it was all downhill afterwards for the Saints after that one. The Raiders, best I've seen them look under John Gruden, I think. They look really good in that game. Derek Carr looked good in that game, and is that a sign of things to come? I don't know. I still don't have confidence in that football team, but, you know, we'll see. Drew Brees look old, though, man. He'd be the number one draft pick for Shady Acres retirement home if they're putting together a team. Him and Tom Brady, man, top of the list.
No Michael Thomas, and he looks different. He looked different last night, didn't
different.
He?
Hugely different in that game.
And I will actually tip my cap to Mark Davis, or I'll push my hair down in a bowl like the Raiders.
Did you see him at the Big Al last night?
No. He's taking a stance. He's not going till the fans can go.
That's a cool stance.
And I thought that's pretty cool because you do own a team and you have the
his mom was there.
One of the perks is you go, but you know, do I need to see Jerry? Do I need to see Bob Kraft everywhere? No. Just it makes them look even more eliter than they already are.
Eliter.
When they're
that's a word.
When they're owners of teams. I kinda like that. He's like, I'm not going until the fans can go. This is a brand new stadium they opened up. He's like,
Don't you buy your soda by the 2-liter?
2-liter.
Yeah. So I kinda appreciate that stance.
Yeah.
So
all right. Yeah, I don't hate that stance.
Mark Davis looks like the ass end of a banana.
But you would think like his mom was there last night and she lit the fake torch. Which they described as like glamorous or whatever. My daughter's
breathtaking.
And my daughter's like, that is not breathtaking. Was there, and you would think she would tell her son, like, change up the hair.
It took my breath away, but in fairness, I had just climbed the stairs. So.
Yeah, that is true.
A little winded.
Yeah.
So there's your big story. We'll give it to the Raiders for a night.
Nice job at the Big Al.
They were actually not bad.
You remember when Fesco said that Gruden would never make it to Vegas?
I was wrong. Yeah. That doesn't happen a lot.
Oh, write it down.
There were signs though trending that I was like, yeah, might not.
It didn't look like. Yeah, I mean, like, they were not doing well.
He might just skip on this whole thing. Although there were
honestly, I didn't think the Raiders would ever make it to Vegas. I thought something else. You know, another year in
COVID
Oakland
swept in, damn near took it away.
Almost didn't happen. Yeah. Almost did not happen.
Now, once that stadium got mostly complete, you knew it was going to.
And be honest, did they really need to finish it for this year? Like, if they left that thing seatless for a year, did it matter?
Yeah, true. This would be the year you wouldn't have to have a complete stadium, just enough for the players to
just enough for the tarps
to be able to operate.
You could have left the whole upper deck undone this year. We've been fine.
A lot of love for Russell Wilson over the.
It's like all of a sudden America woke up and went, Russell Wilson still plays in this league?
The first 2 weeks of the season, he's played great. He's been really, really good. And then, it feels like that everybody kind of forgot about him, and now they want to make sure that they talk about him.
Because
he's getting like a lot of love.
All these years we missed not talking about Russell Wilson. Let's break our backs doing it now.
So Colin Cowherd.
Russell Wilson's the best football player in the world. Lamar's more dynamic athletically. Patrick Mahomes is maybe flashier with a better arm.
What did he say at the beginning of that?
Russell Wilson's the best football player in the world.
Anti-chiefer.
So yes, the hot Russell Wilson takes are everywhere. He's played great for 2 weeks. So yes, would he be my 2 week? Maybe best quarterback. Yeah, possibly.
After 2 weeks, who's the MVP?
But whatever that, right. I don't know what that is. Yeah. I don't know what that is. But if I had to hand out a 2 week quarterback award, I'd probably get to Russell. He's been really good.
Anti-chiefer.
He's been really good. I'd probably give it to him. But I don't think there is such a thing as a 2 week MVP.
I have seen that, Josh. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
No, I mean,
I've seen it on my television screen.
Oh,
after 2 weeks, who's the MVP? Oh, Derek Carr. Oh my God, did you see him last night?
Yeah, I don't. Okay.
How can anybody not say Derek Carr?
So I find it's fine. After 2 weeks, he's been really, really good. It doesn't mean I'm starting my franchise with him and I'm taking him over Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't. But I can also I'm also fine with others playing well. I think Russell Wilson is playing well, but I feel like he was like kind of the forgotten guy. Oh yeah, Russell Wilson. Oh wait, he's back.
Yeah.
Oh wait, he kind of never left.
Never
but
left.
Whatever. there's been a lot of love. So yes, apparently he is maybe the front runner for the 2 week MVP, which is a lot like being the Heisman Trophy favorite after 2 weeks.
I'm okay with folks talking about other quarterbacks around the league being good, as long as they have
permission.
As long as they have the caveat.
I don't fully believe that, but yeah,
no,
go ahead.
Let me finish here, please, before you start jumping all over me. As long as they have the caveat of other than Patrick Mahomes, comma. And if you throw that in front of any statement that you make about other quarterbacks, I'm okay with that.
So they need our Max Kellerman drop every time.
That's exactly right.
Including Mahomes?
Yeah. So.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right.
Exactly.
So every single time that that's
so if you want to start out every debate and every conversation, because people are going to do this, and it's not fair to have, and it's not good content for these networks to just say, well, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest, because, okay, then your argument's over. And if you want to start every quarterback debate and say, okay, who, other than Patrick Mahomes?
Including Mahomes?
Who is the best quarterback after 2 weeks of the season? And you want to put Russell Wilson in there, or you want to talk about Lamar Jackson, or you want to talk about Kyler Murray, or, I mean, last night the flavor of the week is clearly the kid from Oakland or Las Vegas or L.A. or wherever they play these days.
David Carr.
David Carr.
Well, I'm saying David Carr is so happy today.
Yeah, David Carr is thrilled today. So if you want to talk about any other quarterback, I'm good with that as long as you put the caveat other than Patrick Mahomes, comma.
Including Mahomes?
Who is the best quarterback after 2 weeks? Then we can talk about that. But if you don't put that caveat there, then it's a moot point.
So they're kicking around, you know, is Russell Wilson the best player in the NFL?
Yeah, the best
around,
quarterback in the NFL.
Around Good Morning Football on NFL Network. And,
the first two guys wouldn't answer. Nate Burleson really wouldn't answer the question. And then even Schrager wouldn't really answer the question.
Including Mahomes?
And then they asked Kyle Brandt.
Kyle Brandt wasn't pumping the brakes.
I'm going to try to win the MVP of this segment by actually answering the question. I'm going to do it, and I don't think he is the best quarterback. I think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. He didn't have a great game yesterday. Russ has played better over the first couple of weeks. But that throw that Mahomes made to Tyreek on the run about 70 yards downfield was the greatest thing I've ever seen. Russ is amazing. He's going to be in the playoffs. It's a lock. I know, Peter, you were having some fun this weekend on Twitter with one of your greatest takes of all time where you liked Matt Flynn back in the day over Russell Wilson. It's okay. It's an unlikely story. Look, I thought the Dolphins and the Giants were going to the playoffs this year. We all have our takes. My take is Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL. Russ is second or third.
There you go.
Pat Mahomes.
I agree.
But also what he said over the last 2 weeks, Russell's played better. And he probably has. So I guess
he's played unbelievable.
Whatever that title gets you, I don't know. I don't know. Did it get you something? Does that also get you free shipping or
after
whatever?
After the first eighth of the season.
FedEx Air Player of the Week.
He got free air shipping last week? Okay.
After the first eighth of the season.
Which is cool. Time to be a Chiefs fan.
Which is cool.
Play that again?
You would right as soon as I exit it.
Of course.
Good time to be a Chiefs fan.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. It is 2-0 coming off a Super Bowl. Never been better.
So I would just say, don't get worked up about it, Bob. Don't worry that if you need to play in your head the including Patrick Mahomes.
I needed to breathe in a paper bag yesterday.
They're going to say nice stuff about other quarterbacks.
And that's okay.
As long as they say other than Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I don't think they have to caveat it with everything. You can do that in your mind.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the talking heads have to do that. They're going to be talking a lot about Lamar over the next week. You realize that, right? There's going to be a lot.
Not in my house.
There's going to be a lot of Lamar talk.
Including Mahomes?
Maybe in your world, not on my world.
People that say that are stupid.
I agree. Lamar still hasn't beaten Patrick.
True.
I mean, that should be the narrative this week. This is a week and a game, in my opinion, that is umpteen times bigger for the Ravens than it is for the Chiefs. Because the fact that they have not had the success against the Chiefs. And if they go and lose again to the Kansas City Chiefs, boy, oh boy, it'll always be, they're good, but if they go and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, then I think you'll see so many more people talking about the Ravens being the best team in the NFL that nonsense. Because
the Ravens will grab the headlines, the narrative. They will, and it could be a season long narrative.
This is the biggest regular season game Lamar Jackson has ever played.
If Russell Wilson grab the 2-week MVP, they could grab the week three on narrative.
Right.
Great and fine.
Doesn't right. account Kansas for City Chiefs two in a row.
Anything at the end of it.
Right.
Doesn't matter one bit at the end of it, but they have a chance to grab the narrative and then
Really put themselves in the driver's seat
and then feel like too that they've got the monkey off their back. They were a great regular season team last year too.
Yeah, but the narrative will also be, can you do that in the postseason?
Can you do that in the postseason? So, I agree with you. I think there's a lot more pressure on the Ravens to get that win Monday night, and I think the Chiefs have an opportunity to put the stiff arm on it.
Yeah,
I'm just as excited.
Which would be great. Speaking of the quarterback, we had
what the hell was that? Is that your Iowa right there?
That was you.
Quarterback.
Oh, that was me?
Yeah, that was you.
Quarterback.
Quarterback. Your quarterback.
Just made me laugh.
It is kind of Northern, though.
It is, yeah.
We had our quarterback. First volunteer for doting on Mahomes. But our first person voluntarily kind of submit themselves to the bit, which is great.
Yeah.
It was tremendous. As I was listening last night, I was actually getting ready to cut. And like when he started talking, I'm like, this is doting on Mahomes.
And then he told us such. Bill Moss, who drops by Cody and Gold Mondays at 11 o'clock.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Each one of his throws are unique. And it's not as if, a lot of schemes, a lot of offensive schemes have timing routes and timing, and you're going to put the ball in this space, in this location, at this time, and that's not this guy, And they draw it up, and then he looks at the defender and decides where he's going to place the ball, and it's just, I've never seen anybody else do it, ever, watching football, covering football, playing it, I've never seen anybody like him be able to do what he does, and I guess that's another segment for Doting on Mahomes.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
That a boy, Bill.
That's fantastic.
Bill Moss gets to the end. He's like, crap. Now I'm going to be on Doting on Mahomes. I'll just lean into it.
Well, way to go, Bill. Way to go.
So anybody else wants to submit their,
Yeah.
Their Ryan, Doting what's on your Mahomes, phone number? They're Doting on Mahomes. They can go ahead and do that. So Bill's in.
I thought Klings was just public information after that ditty that one guy sent him.
Yeah, that is true.
We ever figure out how he got your number?
Nope. Nope.
We have no idea how that happened.
Not called again.
Yeah.
I got you a little ditty.
That voice too. You don't want that having your phone number.
Who's this?
I got you a little ditty.
Sounds like he's got a skin suit somewhere.
I got you a little ditty.
Definitely eating biscuits and mustard.
So nice job, Bill Moss.
Yes, very good.
Joining Doting on Mahomes voluntarily.
Well, he just kind of went down that road. Yeah. I guess this is just another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Marcus Spears of ESPN.
They're going to hear this, aren't they?
Marcus Spears of ESPN hasn't quite submitted the way that Bill has, but it's pretty close. He says Mahomes has everything you want in a playmaker.
Just so smart with his scrambling. He you look for holes in this game, and you could talk about he didn't have the conventional Patrick Mahomes game. But when you talk about a playmaker, and that's what you want at quarterback, 15 has everything you need. It doesn't matter. We all knew when he got the ball back after Anthony Lynn didn't go for the 4th-and-1 that this game was over. That is exactly what he did. He saw rush lane lose integrity. He saw guys lose the edge. And I was scratching the chalkboard when I saw the Chargers out of rush lanes and not keeping him in the pocket. But Patrick Mahomes made the plays that we expect him to make, whether that's with his legs or with his arms like he did in the playoffs.
Continues to show you that his underrated feature is his ability to run and to run decisively.
Yeah.
But not just run to run. Like, he's going to take that running avenue when it's there, and then he's going to stick the fork in it like he did the other day. Mm-hmm. The 3rd-and-20 run.
Yeah. His runs are impact runs, difference maker runs.
To get first down. I mean,
Your heart out runs. I mean, it's not a run just to run. Every run that he has, Josh, is for a purpose and with a purpose and gets the allotted yards necessary. I mean, you just start thinking about some of the amazing plays that he's made over the last year. go back to week four in Detroit, go back to obviously the Tennessee game, you know, in the postseason and that run down the sidelines, go back to last week's game against the Chargers. And there were three key runs that he had in that game. And the third one, he didn't get quite enough for that first down, but got damn close where you could just give the ball to Darwin Thompson. He could fall forward and pick up the remaining half yard or whatever they needed to get for that first down to keep the sticks moving and to give themselves the opportunity to win that game. And just when you think you've got everything locked down with Patrick Mahomes from a passing game standpoint, here he comes out of that pocket and picks up 21 yards when he needs 20. All of his runs have a purpose. All of his runs matter, and all of his runs are devastating to the opposition.
Chris Sims, NBC Sports, and the Unbuttoned podcast notes Mahomes just makes those big runs when they absolutely need them.
The game was won because of his ability to scramble and run. Whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about, you know, the game-tying drive, third and 20, okay, to get 21 yards.
How about that?
To go do that? Or do you want to talk about the first touchdown drive, the six-play, 95-yard drive that – oh, no, no, the first touchdown drive that gave them 6 points, the 10-play, 73-yard drive that made it 7-6? Those, the two biggest plays on that drive were Mahomes scrambling and running. He made big runs.
And then moving his feet, Sims points out too, moving his feet to avoid pressure and putting himself in good position because they were under heat all day long. And if he's not a slide around type quarterback, he's toast.
Right.
In a game like that. If you're a stand back, stand in the pocket, statue,
if you're not winning that game. If you're Chris's dad, Phil, you're done in that game because he was a stand in the pocket type of guy.
Maybe Tommy now.
Brady, yeah. Who knows? Yeah,
I mean that was kind of
my dad call it a hand.
That was kind of the knock, certainly in game one. That yeah, clean pocket, he's going to be great. Well, everybody has the opportunity to be great in a clean pocket, but Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to have the clean pocket.
Nope.
He'd prefer he did, but if he doesn't, like the other day, well, he makes the most of those opportunities to either take off and run or slide around to be able to make a. Buy himself some extra time to throw it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if it's a 6th sense or a 7th sense or an 8th sense with Patrick Mahomes because he's got a lot of senses out there now when it comes to playing the game of football. But he knows the exact time to run as well, the exact time to get out of the way of pressure. I mean, the guy is so dialed in on every single play. That's why he's the best quarterback and player in the NFL.
You know, they always say don't make one mistake, two.
Right. Don't let one loss become two, two become four. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Why is Anthony Lynn not know that?
I don't know, man. This guy in the span of like from overtime to right now has made some major faux pas.
So he's going to let one mistake, not being aggressive on fourth down, which ended up in the loss, be two because his quarterback is Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor is 100%. He's our quarterback.
Doubled down yesterday after his post-game comments. Justin Herbert comes in and basically he's like, well, he's the backup for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
If Tyrod Taylor's 100%, he's our guy.
Don't get me wrong. I thought what Justin did was, I thought he came in and gave us a chance to win. But there's a lot that you don't know. There's a lot, you know, that we didn't get done with Justin on the field yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's a backup for a reason. You know, he's a rookie, and there's a lot that he needs to learn about this game. Tyrod been a veteran guy, having him before. You know, I know what to expect from him and what he's going to get done. But if Tyrod can't go and we have to go with Justin, I am perfectly content with that. I know we can win with either quarterback, but the veteran quarterback right now gives us the best chance to win. And, you know, it's not like we won the damn game yesterday. We lost.
You almost lost to the Bengals with Tyrod Taylor. You almost beat the Super Bowl champs and Patrick Mahomes with a backup quarterback. And I'll say it, the reason you didn't win was because of your coaching, not because of the quarterback.
More so. I mean, the pick was bad. Like, the one mistake he had turned out to be huge.
Yeah, sure.
But yes, for the most part, it wasn't on the quarterback.
No, it was not on the quarterback at all. I mean, if you just watched that game and never saw football before or didn't know who the Chargers were or what Justin Herbert was all about, you would have thought that was a veteran quarterback that was playing in that game. And I hear, you know, Anthony Lynn, you know, say that stuff, and I think to myself, imagine having someone go to bat for you like Anthony does for Tyrod Taylor, man. Could you imagine having somebody in your corner like Anthony Lynn is for Tyrod Taylor? I mean, for me, that was just like an unnecessary shot too at Justin Herbert.
He's a backup for a reason.
There's a lot that went on that you don't know about.
Set him in his place, right?
Yeah, but you know what? There was a lot that went on that we saw and everybody saw and went, man, if that's the first game and he wasn't prepared, think about what he could do if he was prepared for the game.
No, he was prepared, and that's what you should have taken out of that if you're Anthony Lynn. You preach it every day. That backup guy's got to be ready. Well, what happens? He puts that backup guy in, and it proved he was ready.
Yeah, he was good.
I'm really happy that he gave his future quarterback, his franchise quarterback, the guy they went and drafted. I'm really glad he gave him just that big dose of confidence.
Big dose of confidence.
There's a reason you're a backup. Excuse me, sir. I believe Tyrod Taylor was a backup in many places, too, for a reason.
Yeah. It's not like we're talking about Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson or, Tom Brady or somebody who has a history of success in winning championships in this league. We're talking about a man who was unseated by Baker Mayfield.
And I appreciate loyalty, but I was be like, look, Tyrod couldn't go, and we saw what this kid can do.
Yeah.
And he's our future.
Yeah, let's roll with it, man.
Let's see where.
And again, it's almost like he's not taking responsibility for why they lost that football game on Sunday. More responsibility on him than that quarterback.
It's not like we lost or not like we won the game too. You're right. Like you hung in with the Super Bowl champs with the guy who had all of 15 seconds to get ready.
Yeah,
Anthony Lynn said he found out at the coin flip.
Right.
I would assume it was just briefly before that Justin Herbert was given the heads up that he had to start.
And they won the coin flip and took the ball.
Like,
you didn't even give them like the opportunity
to roll the defense out there to
wait like 5 minutes.
Right.
It just seemed weird to me. Like we in Kansas City are stumping for Justin Herbert more than his coaches.
It showed a lot.
That's your future quarterback. Yeah. I'm fine if you don't want to go in that direction. I think it's stupid, but I'm fine with it because you're the head coach and you make that call, right? But he is the future of your organization. Soften the blow up a little bit or else you're not going to be the future of that organization.
That's exactly right. And it's not just us in Kansas City stumping for this guy. Like everybody who watch football on Sundays, like, that's the dude. There's nobody walking away from that game. Did you hear Romo? Romo fell in love with this guy, right? Like, not one person is walking away from that game going, I don't know about Justin Herbert. Everybody went away from that game going, that guy's a stud.
He's a backup for a reason, and it's not like we won the game.
It's not like we won the game. Hey, Coach, let's get back to your play calling here for a second and talk about fourth and one.
Anthony. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We all have our favorites. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.